The day has come, everybody. The day has come. Friday, I mean. It's Friday. Hey, everybody. I'm John. Nothing big's going on. It's just me and Brett Ehrlich, the host of the Happy F Hour. Two fun buds having fun on a normal news day. Brett, how's it going?
I'll tell you what, John. Thought we had about 10 minutes left. Then the show started, if I must be honest.
Yeah.
I was like, John, make sure that the microphone's off. And then the show began. And I wasn't ready. Because I've become a zombie.
Yeah, it's been a weird week.
The only person who's more of a zombie than me is like everyone on CNN who still has the same level of energy.
I'm very glad to have you here because everybody, we're done probably. We're probably done. Yay, and we're gonna talk about all that. It's been a very crazy week here. You've met us at a very strange time in our lives, America. We've been going with live videos and you have shows in the morning. So we have a rundown. I remember some of what's on it, but Brett and I are gonna work our way through that, talking about what's been going on with the election, a little bit of additional news, and then of course, a very special edition of Garbage People. Can't wait to find out who Brett has for that. As well as we do have, we still haven't named it and we probably never will, but the exact opposite of a garbage person. I have a suggestion for that today as well. So whether you're watching on Twitch or YouTube or on the app or anything like that, thank you for joining us. Please hit the like button or whatever button, start hitting buttons, let people know that we're live. And as we go through this hour to, let's keep it real, 90 minutes or so, you can send us messages and Brett and I will be responding throughout. That said, Brett, you know, this is normally the time where you pitch, you let us know what's gonna happen with Happy Half Hour, but that's actually not happening, right?
Happy Half Hour will be a rerun of the previous episode. And I will say there is a common room tonight, and it is a 5-person common room.
What?
Unprecedented. I will be very tiny in a little 90s style TV in the center. But Aishwarya, Asher, Sophie, Marissa.
What?
The producers who brought you election night will have a postmort on it, really.
That's
and,
awesome.
You will get to see the sheer exhaustion in the eyes of the people frantically flailing behind the scenes. And then the following week on Common Room, we're gonna do the crew.
Damn, that's awesome.
And the week after that, because there's a lot of crew
to make
more
crew?
This possible. So we're building it out. That's what we're doing.
Nice, awesome, awesome.
And it's gonna be fantastic. But
that sounds
check
fun.
That out tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. On twitch.tv/TYT.
Awesome, definitely do that. We've got great producers. You got main show producers there. You've got our producers who are absolutely awesome. They did virtually all of the work on the show today. I mean, keep it real, they generally do, but today especially. And so it's gonna be awesome to have everybody getting a chance to get to know them a little bit better. Really fast, I'm gonna read a couple of super chats because we are already being flooded with super chats. Normally we hold off. I'm gonna read just a few. Danger Dragon knows what's on my mind and sent it a super chat that is composed of just 3 letters. Brett, can you guess what those 3 letters are?
I don't know. Hey.
Hey, no. It's FTW would be good, but no, it's AOC because all of you are like hyper focused on looking back on the 2020 election. I'm looking forward to 2024. So Danger Dragon, we're in line there. Jacob Fergie says, take my money as a thank you for my only sincere laugh of the day. I saw the clips of Cenk watching John and Brett make fun of him and Chris Cuomo from home and am dead. And it's funny because that just came up. That bet, that's the bet thing that we were mocking in that, right, Brett? I'll take that bet all day long, Cenky you.
Long, Cenky you. So good.
Anyway, that was so much fun. Okay, yeah, always fun to make fun of him. Wellington Smith says, remember the 6th of November because you're effing fired. Big super chat, Wellington Smith, thank you. And everybody else who's sending them in, we're gonna try to get to as many as we can. But there is a lot of news, arguably some important news today. So we're going to jump right on into that. So we knew going to sleep last night that there was a good chance that this thing would be decided on Friday, possibly even Friday morning. And waking up, I immediately started scrolling and I saw that indeed some states had flipped. And I wasn't recording myself, so you don't get to see the look on my face when I realized that. But you do get to see the look on the face of some other people realizing it, including the Fox and the Friends. Here's a great tweet after Georgia had flipped as well as Pennsylvania from the Daily Show. They're blank stares. Kilmeade looks vaguely horrified. It's like he sees the Demogorgon in the distance in a dark forest. Yeah, and that is after Georgia had so narrowly flipped and Pennsylvania had flipped. Those gaps are now larger in Georgia. They're slightly larger in Pennsylvania. They're 4 times larger. But yes, Steve Ducey has the funniest look on his face there.
Well, Ducey has the crybaby hair flip. Like, I don't know if people are familiar with the movie Crybaby, or just like drawings of essentially like, you know, cool guys from the 50s on motorcycles, the G-Eazy thing. Yeah. Like Ducey in that graphic, it is thoroughly amazing. It is like this complete hair, like, man, I just fell off my motorcycle kind of look. And he's about to like flick it back over his ear. Mm-hmm. And Ainsley's despondent, but then again, she frequently has no thoughts in her, like none of them have thoughts in their mind. So this just might be the, it reminds me of that part of Westworld where they have in the basement just the storage room for the naked decommissioned robots.
Yeah.
That are just sitting there until someone turns them on. And then they're like, yep, here's a doozy with traffic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Ainsley looks almost as sad as when she was telling Trump how nice it is for someone to say they love you when you say you love them. Anyway, Trump said to America, I love you. And America said, go F yourself. So that's the result. And look, Brett and I have both, we've given our responses on a few different things. So this is just our small opportunity to do this on TDR. But I will just say, obviously, I'm already in the mode of sort of looking to the future and what needs to happen. But very good day. I am not that shocked because for the past couple of days, I keep saying that this is the way that the votes were trending. But it is good to actually see it, that this is effectively locked up right here. And so Brett, any quick thoughts about the fact that apparently we got it?
I just, like, as I was closing my refrigerator today, after I took the cold pizza out, I was reminded of Chick Hearn. The refrigerator door is closed. The lights are out. The eggs are cool, and the butter, the jello's a jiggling. Like that is the butter's getting hard. I screwed that up, but it is amazing. Mm-hmm. It is just, and then also echoing in my mind is the part at the end of Archer where it just goes made in Georgia.
Yeah, like, yeah.
All of those things. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of thoughts to be had right now and a lot of strategies to figure out. There's a lot and this, I think the smart people are doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. Which frees us up to do other stuff.
Sets up to, yeah, we freeze it, frees us up. But yeah, I just think that in the wake of this, there's a bunch of ways to, I'm happy that Trump is no longer going to be the president. I'm terrified of what's going to happen after this. I'm reassured that the Pennsylvania state legislature has so far indicated that they will not send faithless electors to the Electoral College.
Yeah.
I am reminded that our electoral system is hilarious. Mm-hmm. The things that you only remember every 4 years about how it works, that you literally have to have people go to the Electoral College still.
Yeah.
And as much as we talk about like those 30 ballots or whatever, you have to send like Tim and Kippy to a place to say, here's my vote.
Yeah.
Even though everyone knows every other thing. And the idea that this is anything but absolutely assured and legally binding is psychotic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but thankfully things are looking more assured than they, like there was a chance that Biden was going to win with 270 votes, which technically gets you the White House, but is a tense situation for a few of the reasons that we've gone into. Now it's looking like that is probably not going to happen, especially with, as you said, the Pennsylvania state legislature. So all of that is good. Everything is good in the world except for all of the things that are not, but that is a fight for another day. Probably tomorrow, we'll get started then. Today we get to feel good because God knows it has been a long time since we felt good.
Are you drinking because you said you would be?
I know, but I'm trying to be responsible. I'm gonna be. That's the ground floor of what I'm gonna be doing later tonight. Interpret that how you will, you're gonna be right.
Yeah, John will be on the ground floor. This is my ground floor. This is my water today. It's not anything. And I'm not going to drink on camera. That's a Pepsi.
So this is technically a Boilermaker, isn't it?
Yeah. In honor of Pennsylvania, we're going to be a shot and a beer.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel like playing a little bit of Flip Cup after Flipadelphia went off today. It feels good. You know what? It feels good. We get to feel good. We're too responsible and care too much about what happens to too many people to just feel good for too long. But very briefly, we can feel good, and then the work will continue. Last night, Donald Trump had his press conference, and it was more lies per second about more consequential things than I can remember out of Trump. It was below the dignity of insert a noun. It was, we shouldn't have that. You know, honestly, like a lot of people, I don't know, but I like Stephen Colbert, and Stephen Colbert's response that I thought was awesome. You should definitely go watch it. I feel much the same, and I responded in real time in a video yesterday. So look, Brett, you can certainly jump in on that, but I also want to give you a little bit more of what Donald Trump is saying and doing, because it doesn't look like anything he can say or do is going to change the outcome of the election, but that doesn't mean that he can't say or do things that are consequential. And so when you see him tweet things like this late last night, I easily win the presidency of the United States with legal votes cast. The observers were not allowed in any way, shape or form to do their job, and therefore votes accepted during this period must be determined to be illegal votes. US Supreme Court should decide. That's not true at all. There were Republican observers in every single room where every single vote was cast. That's just the truth. I apologize if that's inconvenient to you. It's true, the US Supreme Court does not get to decide. But that's his only path that he sees, Brett.
And he thinks he did it. That's what's amazing. Like, he thinks, well, I guess we can debate, but it seems clear that in his mind, he's like, no. I was told that if I get the appointment of Amy Coney Barrett, then this goes to the Supreme Court. I am King President. The Supreme Court is King President's court, and that's it. And anything else, like, I have no any. And in his mind, this is the most depressing part. In his mind, he has no reason to leave peacefully, mm-hmm. and he thinks he has to put up a fight.
Yeah.
When the truth is, like, this is not where you put up the fight, bud. You put the fight up before people vote, and then people vote. That's what the democracy is. And even Lindsey Graham today was qualifying statements, kind of saying, you got 48 hours to show us, like, your actual evidence. And the New York Post is turning on him. The New York Post headlines that they ran are pretty hilarious. I don't know if you showed them or saw them.
No, I haven't seen
one
that.
Is about the speech you're talking about. It says, downcast Trump makes baseless election fraud claims in White House address. New York Post. These are the people that ran the Hunter Biden piece.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, he's
written. And then the second one was Donald Trump Jr. calls for total war in clueless tweet.
Wow.
That's the New York Post, and all these people who work in media are like, just so you know, the New York Post smells blood in the water. That's their job, and that's what they're going after. Yeah. Like, and I'm reminded. Last thing I'll say on this is I'm reminded of the moment in the movie Top Secret, where there's a joke about how stupid these two henchmen are, and one of them is, this is Klaus. He is a moron who believes only what he reads in the New York Post. Like, that's a joke in it. Yeah. And he's holding it, says, like, you know, the, you know, masked supervillains kidnap like Twiggy or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it is a known terrible tabloid. They've turned on Trump.
Yeah, he's got a few. He's got the Graham. He's got the Cruz. He's got Hannity and Mark Levin and a few others, and that's probably pretty much it, which is not enough to win him the election. It is enough theoretically to inspire his followers to commit acts of political violence. That's my fear, but not enough to actually win. That said, we haven't seen much of Donald Trump. We had that press conference, we had the tweet I read. I'm gonna give you just a couple more of his tweets, just because this is the only window we have into what passes for a brain for him. So he also tweeted, Philadelphia has got a rotten history on election integrity. Yeah, it's the lesser known sister city to Philadelphia, but
that's like when kids say Piscetti.
Piscetti, yeah.
Like that's what it is, Philadelphia.
Piha. Anyway, so he hates it. He doesn't like their vote. It probably has nothing to do with the race of the people living there. He also said Twitter is out of control, made possible through the government gift of Section 230. Again, speaking directly to the needs and the most important issues for the American people. Twitter is out of control, I guess, or something. I don't know. This is what he's saying. And he also tweeted a little bit about because there's going to be the runoffs in Georgia, which we're going to be talking about for 200 hours between now and then. The presidency is even more important. So he's still trying to project what passes for strength from a conservative male, but it is starting to look kind of sad. Kind of sad.
Yeah, there is no dignity. I have all these fantasy situations, or not fantasy situations. I don't want any of these to happen. But if I were Quentin Tarantino, writing badass revisionist history dramas about dramedies, essentially about this Inglorious Bastard style. What I am picturing is happening right now in the White House is a couple things. At that moment where the Secret Service looks around and just goes, I'm handcuffing this guy and taking him out of the White House. It's over. You know, and that's kind of happening. And the Biden campaign, their response to Trump saying this is all BS is
because I'm just about to read that. So why don't we transition to that? And if it's not the one you're thinking of, feel free to correct me. But so what is Trump going to do if reality is what reality appears to be? Well, apparently he has no prepared concession speech, which makes sense. He's never prepared a speech in his life. But also he has no plans to concede. And the Biden campaign has responded to those reports that he has no plans to concede, even if it's done, by saying, quote, as we said on July 19th, the American people will decide this election, and the United States government is perfectly capable of escorting trespassers out of the White House. Which, yeah, that's good. That's good stuff.
It's so good.
That's good stuff.
It's so good, and it's so right. Here's my other. I do not want this to happen. I'm not advocating for this to happen. This is just a dramatic Tarantino style Inglorious Bastards moment. Is in the White House, Donald Trump, Don Jr., Eric, and and Ivanka all start talking about what happened and what went wrong. And then Donald tells Ivanka she did everything right. And Eric's sitting there, I don't know. And Don Jr. is like, why do you always take Ivanka's side? And Trump says, you were an idiot. You did too much cocaine. You and Guilfoyle ruined that election for me with your the best is yet to come moment. And Don Jr. can't take it anymore. And with his bare hands, he strangles his father to death.
Oh my God. What is it? This is succession with Game of Thrones, effectively.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is it's not actually it's not that. It's Don Trump Jr. says no, don't do it. Or Don Trump Jr. starts trying to strangle. Eric gets in there and pushes his brother away and says, no, I've always wanted to do this. And he just bites his father's jugular out, spits out the skin and the lining of the vein or the artery, and just spits it, and blood everywhere. Ivanka doesn't care. What they do is they take their mugs and fill them up with the blood of their father and start drinking it. They were the satanic cult.
Sorry, it was true all along.
It was true all along.
Now hold on, I'm gonna give you a couple notes, because the way I see it happening, I don't have a role for Ivanka yet, but Don Jr. goes for his father and he sinks his fingers 6 inches into what passes for Trump's neck. They start grappling back and forth in the Oval Office. Eric says, "Father, I'll save you," and he runs up. He gets backhanded, falls out of the window on the first story, dies. From the impact on the first story, Trump successfully chokes out Don Jr., but the exertion is too much for the little bit of marinara lung he has left, so he passes out too.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. No, it's Shakespearean.
No, it's not that. He's aspirated Big Mac. Because the whole time he was fighting off, he never put down the Whopper.
And the last, no.
And everyone around him is passed out.
No, Brett. No one. They're all down. They're all out. The camera just on a still Oval Office. Trump's hand starts to raise, and you think, is he still alive? And he presses the button to request a Diet Coke, and then he's done.
He does that. Is there a button? I just picture a hand going to pick up the phone, and instead picks up a French fry. And he dies. And if you want the closest visual, it's Jabba.
Oh my God.
And Slave Leia chokes him out.
And then the tiny salacious crumb, who's clearly Stephen Miller in this case. And then he passes out. I don't even know why, but he passes out. Okay. We gotta get it together. We've interviewed presidential candidates on this show. What is going on?
But is it salacious B crumb? Is his middle initial B?
I think it is a B. I think it's a B. Oh my God, Ro Khanna's not coming on the show anymore. Anyway, all of that was fan fiction. We don't want any of that to happen. We're not gonna do anything. Obviously, FBI, back off.
But I'm sure the Dragon Squad has actors and editors and camera people and a functioning knowledge of green screen and OBS. So if you wanna orchestrate that, please do.
Oh my God, I almost lost my coffee. Okay. So continuing on,
I just want to say, it's no longer got
anything left
ready for Trump's ship, Trump's little sailboat to be put inside it.
Okay, that was the Shakespearean epic we need in our time. Okay, so Trump also plans, just going back into the news, to launch his second term early, even if he's lost. And you have a follow up question. Wait, what? Or what does that mean? So he's gonna like start firing people and passing executive orders. Okay, no, I mean, I guess, look, he's still technically president. He still gets to be a lame duck. It's a stupid way to run a government, doesn't make any sense. And we are going to have to watch for all the insane things that he does. But that doesn't make you president for another term. He's gonna resume travel. He's gonna do rallies. Yeah, no, he probably will. That doesn't have anything to do with any of this. That's the dumbest strategy ever. And what do you know, when you surround yourself with advisors like Rudy Giuliani, your strategy sucks. Anyway.
I needed that, John.
I did. That was fun. Thank you.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
It has got to be dawning on Fox News that this thing is wrapped up. It's done, but they're not ready to admit that publicly yet. So here is what they've apparently been telling their hosts and anchors internally. According to CNN Business, Fox News is instructing its anchors not to call Joe Biden the president-elect when the network calls the race, according to two memos obtained by CNN. The memos say Fox should stay away from using the description and instead say something such as Biden has, quote, enough electoral votes to win the presidency, which can be defined as being the president-elect. We're really just getting into wordplay here. The memos emphasize that the network should report moves by Trump's legal teams to challenge the results. Quote, we will report both sides until there is further guidance. Well, that's the most honest they've ever been. Fox called Trump the president-elect the day after the 2016 election, but it's looking like they're not gonna do that this time. And why? Because Donald Trump is a tiny, tiny, tiny little creature. And that is the only explanation for it that I have. Brett, what do you think?
Dishonesty is the best policy. Fairly unbalanced is another one that I would throw out there. Yeah, and good luck telling this, because the it's amazing Fox News right now. Think about it. One of the chants that happened outside, I believe it was the Arizona, one of the Arizona county locations, was that group of unhinged Trump supporters chanting Fox News sucks.
Yeah.
Over and over again. So that is on one end of it.
But the other end, you have
people that are like, listen, I'm a journalie. What?
But I mean, I think that
I
maybe
the term journalie.
Journalie. I think that that is the explanation. They have to get through this time. Every Republican is worried, how do I get through this time without angering Trump's base? And not calling Joe Biden the president-elect, that seems like one way to try to navigate that.
Oh, everybody's doing that. Everybody's asking, everybody's saying, I love Trump's base for what it gives me. And part of that is like the essence of our system is people need to be held accountable to voters. But it is very true that people at Fox News don't like those people very much. They're all New York elites.
Yeah,
it's
that's true.
And, but a lot of them, and Trump included, has been able to pull this off, essentially getting that massive base of voters to rally around him. They are all, and this includes all the people in DC, all the elected officials who kept their jobs while Trump is losing his job. They've been able to pull it off. That's my analysis of the situation. How are all these state races staying fine for Republicans, but they just lose Trump? And the answer is, well, they danced it right.
Yeah.
They absolutely carried off exactly what they needed to do to at least keep their jobs. And now they're wondering how they can keep that base happy when the person that facilitated the other elected officials keeping their jobs and Fox News getting all these profits by appealing to them in targeted ways. They're basically asking, how do I keep all the good stuff and not lose all the bad stuff while still being happy and not having to really address the needs of the MAGA voter?
Yeah.
And that's where they're all at right now. And I would say, listen, people who are just who are extremely racist and are part of MAGA for that reason, I'm never gonna get through to them, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I'm gonna say, listen, I understand that you have some financial needs that you need met. And if you're serious about that stuff, I would say, forget what you feel about me personally. And I think you can do that because Donald Trump is a New York billionaire by your estimation, and you overcame your hatred of New York billionaires for this. Just look at these pamphlets, these proposals, and see if they appeal to you.
Yeah.
And if you can get over your hatred for woke culture, then you know, the way you got over your hatred for New York billionaires, maybe you can vote with your pocketbook instead and give a big up yours to all those Fox News people and all those billionaires that are funding the establishment Mitch McConnell types. And actually vote for people who really will benefit you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's an ongoing battle we're gonna be following. over the past 24 hours, as it's become increasingly clear that Joe Biden was going to win this thing, some of the Fox people you're probably going to be familiar with started to coalesce, it seems, around a potential strategy. This is not on Fox, it's on his radio show, but here is Sean Hannity.
What my understanding is, their electors, you know, they're not required to vote in accordance whatever the state popular vote is. If they think there is fraud that has taken place, they do have the power to stop that in these states.
Okay, so that is him saying state legislatures should use this made up fraud to say the vote went for Biden, but that it doesn't matter. We're going to give the votes to Donald Trump. So we're going to subvert the will of the people and give it to him. And it's not just Sean Hannity. You have Mark Levin tweeting in all caps, reminder to the Republican state legislatures, you have the final say over the choosing of electors, not any board of elections. This is not a good impersonation because he's far whinier than that, I acknowledge that. But he's saying you get to choose who you give it to. So Mark Levin and Sean Hannity are saying, yeah, this democracy thing, that's all well and good, but it didn't work out for us. So we're gonna win anyway. So screw all of that, the votes don't matter. They don't even just not matter the way they normally don't matter, where Joe Biden getting 4 million plus more votes than Trump doesn't guarantee he wins. They're also not even gonna matter in the normal dumb electoral college way. They now say, just give it to him, whatever, just give it to him.
Sean Hannity, Mark Levin are advocating for the abolition of the electoral college as we understand it.
Yeah.
That's it. There are a couple things that there is no good reason for Republicans to talk about, or anyone to really talk about. And that is saving the filibuster. Who cares? No person is like, oh, I'm grabbing my gun to defend the filibuster. No one gives a crap. No one cares enough to learn enough to. There's actually no filibuster. There's also a filibuster. There was a de facto filibuster. Same way there's a de facto filibuster right now in the Senate. There was a de facto filibuster in the House when it first started. And the way they got around that is just locking the doors and counting people when they wouldn't say they were present. Like all this stuff historically is very, very muddy. And people pretend like it's etched in stone somewhere, when really the idea of cloture is invented. Mm-hmm. The only reason the filibuster exists is there's no limit on how long you can talk in the Senate. They just didn't write it down.
Yeah.
And why did they do that? They had faith that people would be like, all right, if you got more than half, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a long way to get to it. But
with a lot of need for reform that probably isn't going to come because Republicans will block it. Look, the fact that finally, once again, the person who got the most votes is probably going to win, that is good news. It doesn't mean that the Electoral College going forward isn't any less awful, but they're not going to change it. They're just not going to. Like, we have to force it, and the work just hasn't been put in yet. But it is pretty amazing to see them just openly saying, like, let's have the state legislatures overthrow this thing. And understand that when they do that, it's one thing to do that openly as a person who pretends to be sort of like a journalist, if there was a chance of it working, you know, if there was a good shot that a Republican state legislature would overthrow it, which, you know, looking back a month ago, we might have thought, well, that's a possibility. That's one thing. But to say that when it doesn't appear that there's any chance of that happening, so like coming out as fundamentally against democracy when it isn't even pragmatic, sort of, it's like, it's almost an identity thing. It's a vice signaling thing. It's saying, I want to reassure the Trump base that you know I'm more with you than I am with democracy. It's not going to change the outcome, but I hate this system as much as you do. I think that that's significant, and we need to remember that.
Yeah. And my pitch again is like, do you hate rigged systems run by establishment weirdos who pretend they care about you and don't? Like, same.
Yeah.
Same. Do you think the money corrupts? And when it comes to deciding who to take care of, they only take care of giant companies who don't care if you live or die. And I'm lumping in like the Zuckerbergs, the Bezoses. Like, yeah. Think about it. Yeah. Just think about it.
Yeah.
Taibbi's out there writing like, who's the true party of the working class? And my response is like, well, we can have a conversation about it. You're pretending like 3% of a shift is like a huge shift. I would say, yes, it is troubling. And I think that was his point overall. But really, like, let's have that conversation. And now's the time to do it. Now is the time for progressives to go state by state, because this is an electoral college system still, mm-hmm. and say, what does progressivism look like in your state? What the next step is to say, listen, and something that Bernie Sanders said on our air, Joe Biden sees himself the way FDR was. Mm-hmm. He sees himself as a person coming in at the tail end of a massive crisis.
Yeah.
And I know this might be counting my chickens before the hatch. Someone who comes in at the tail end of a massive crisis and says, I, like FDR, will come up with solutions that get us out of it. Using the government because I want to. No, it's Joe Biden. He doesn't. But because I need to.
Yeah.
And this is the time for that. And that's all we're saying. This is the time for that. Meanwhile, what are we going to get out of it? Good paying jobs, good paying union jobs. If that's what you were talking about, yeah, we'll do it. And the infrastructure to drive and facilitate the industries that you want to bring back.
Yeah.
Yes, let's do it now.
Yeah. And to that point, look, the whether he can do that is, you know, the results of the Georgia special elections are going to be very important for that. Trump is off there in the darkness, brooding, angry, looking for scapegoats. That's why when like Brad Parscale like is still tweeting, I tweeted at him that inevitably Trump is gonna sue him, right? Like he's gonna blame everybody, including his campaign managers. But anyway, he also blames Fox. In the same way that his base is chanting that they hate Fox, he has been talking endlessly about how angry he is at Fox, that only 9 hours a day is devoted to running a tongue softly along the bottom of his footwear. And so apparently, according to tweets I'm seeing, we don't have the elements for these, but John Santucci sent out two tweets saying, vibe in the president's inner circle this morning is a bit of a stalemate. Many discussions of what to do next, and they are splitting into two roads. One, what legal challenges are possible, and obviously there's not much there. Two, dusting off the plans for a Trump TV-like network should this end. And the second tweet says, on life after, anger at Fox Murdoch family cannot be understated. Should he lose, Trump wants to destroy Fox. Aides believe they can steal hosts Hannity and Carlson. Sources believe Trump will never admit he lost should we get there. Instead, stick with rigged, fraud, stolen. I think that's 100% right. But once again, it looks like he is looking to how he can monetize not just his base, but his fired up base that he will convince this thing was stolen from. And he needs an enemy for that. And the enemy looks like it's gonna be Fox News.
And I'm fine with that because it divides everyone that was in that coalition. Now the scary thing is, so strategically, the MSNBCs of the world are gonna think it's a good strategy to scoop up all the folks that didn't, you know, make their way into the promised land of Trump TV. Mm-hmm. And that's one discussion. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I don't see why Trump wouldn't both advocate for legal challenges, because that would help him keep the White House. And in the meantime, talk about Trump TV. I think the most likely scenario is Trump makes a hard play for a massive ownership stake in OANN and licenses his name onto the network, rebranding it as the Trump's American Network, because that's his move anyway with every building you see.
Do you know what the acronym for that would be?
TRAN.
I was gonna say TAN, but yeah,
TAN, anyway. Trump American Network.
That's pretty good, come on.
Oh my God,
TAN. Fake TAN news.
Let's write it. TANN.
Anyway, so that's not a bad idea, and a lot easier than setting up your own thing, especially if you want it to be TV, assuming OAN's on TV in some places, right? I think it is. I believe it is.
There is no way of knowing it. You know, John, not to out both of us on here, but like if you look at the lower thirds that are on OANN,
oh,
they
God.
Are very, they look like John and I photoshopped them, like not knowing how to Photoshop.
Yeah,
really.
That's funny because we definitely could Photoshop better than that almost instantly. It would not take, those are so bad. It's like,
it,
Is that like, was that like a Video Hive template pack they bought in 2004? Why do they look so bad?
Well, John, I'll tell you why they look so bad. This is really inside, but there's like actual like services that you can get. They have, you know, people type in in real time, like what they want the lower thirds to say, and it goes on camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and this, what John and I have done, I assume for you, because I've seen it on this channel on YouTube, it's like your old stuff. And then the way that TYT worked when we first went to TY quarantined or whatever it is, quarantined, TYTed, that was me photoshopping and saving the lower third files in real time, and they would change at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Like that's what would happen. And that's what it looks like they're doing. Like it's one dude at his like workstation, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, dude, like look into Photoshop layer styles. Use a gradient, use a drop shadow. And for the love of God, this is why news networks don't use orange generally. It looks god awful. But anyway, maybe once it's the tan network, they'll shift the colors very slightly. Hero of Light says, since the theme of the next 4 years is progressives versus centrist Democrats, how do you begin to win over family members who are staunch Pelosi Hillary stans? I've clashed with my mom so many times with these kinds of arguments. I think that is one of the benefits that someone like AOC or others bring, is that you've probably seen it on Twitter. There are a bunch of people who hated Bernie Sanders with all of their guts, but like AOC, even though on policy they're very, very similar. I think that the squad and squad 2.0 are gonna win over people that they kind of opposed Bernie for reasons that don't necessarily have to do with his progressive policies.
Yeah, and I get, the thing that I get is I just don't like him.
Yeah.
I get it, because a lot of folks have this idea in their head of what a politician they like talks like and looks like. And I can't fight, those are tough to deal with, because A, it's just something that they don't know they're thinking about. And B, like, I don't want to tell people like your concept, like that's their instinct. And when you tell people their instinct is wrong, then you're telling them their entire perception of the universe is wrong. So you're in a difficult position. I do have a little ray of hope, because I have a dear friend who's like a Missouri Democrat who moved to California. And I was talking to him, and he's like, listen, and he was very reticent to embrace. He just didn't like AOC. He didn't like what she was doing. And you get into the details and you explain it. And he's like, listen, I like those things. I just, for some reason, and he was very honest. He's like, I'm not really with it. It seems a little much, because, but yesterday he was like, I feel bad about that early statement.
Good.
Well, I come around now, because I see what you were saying, and it's okay that people aren't with us right now.
Yeah.
And look at it as a blessing, because we've had time to develop a clearer argument, and we have and engaging them early is a way to reference back. Okay, here's what we talked about 6 months ago, a year, 2 years ago, and let's check back in on it.
Yeah.
And I think now is a really good time. I don't know if anyone's had a giant argument with someone they love, and then you wake up the next morning going like, oh God, I don't know why. Yeah. I still feel the way I did last night, but I don't know if we need to hate each other as much today. Because it just seems stupid to do that. And this is an opportunity right now to say, let's have those conversations.
Yeah.
Let's open up and just, you tell me what you want now.
And we've got time.
Yeah. And if their answer is like, I want you to die, it's like, well, that seems against your instincts of like what America should be. But fine, thank you for talking to me. But if it's like, I want my factory to reopen, then we're in a conversation.
Yeah. A conversation we're gonna have for the next 4 years. Okay, so apparently two people were planning, as so many seem to be threatening online, to do something absolutely insane, to stop the count or interfere with it or something like that. So two men were arrested in Philadelphia late Thursday after police received a tip. They'd been making threats against the Philadelphia Convention Center. So police were told the men were coming up from Virginia armed with AR-15s. Police found their Hummer near the convention center. The car was decorated with stickers promoting the conspiracy theory QAnon. Police on the scene said weapons were recovered from the car, though they did not say what kind. I don't know that it necessarily matters, but supposedly AR-15s. And if we bring up this next picture, you're gonna see the when we go one, we go all, which is effectively, it's the real world equivalent of shouting witness me before you jump in front of a car. And so apparently something crazy potentially they were planning to do. And so in multiple cities, in Detroit and Philadelphia and Arizona and in others, we've got crazies flocking in, and many of them are content to just chant, to run onto live shots and scream at the camera. Some of them are going to want more, and they are being told right now by literally everyone they trust the most in the world that Donald Trump is being robbed of a victory that he earned. And that, remember, if you believe in this QAnon stuff, it's not just that Joe Biden is stealing the presidency. Joe Biden, satanic pedophile, is stealing the presidency so that he can protect people who rape and eat children. That's what these crazies believe. And there's a lot of them, and they're organizing online. Facebook has taken down a group that had hundreds of thousands of members just since the election, called Stop the Steal, where people were spreading misinformation and organizing for protests and things like that. There were also potential calls for violence. That group has now been taken down, but a number splinter cells of it effectively have been set up, Stop the Steal groups. There are crazy people out there, and thankfully police and FBI are doing a good job so far of stopping them. But there's gonna be a lot. And the question is, if Trump keeps doing what he's doing and saying what he's saying, will they be able to stop all of them?
This makes the barbecue, beer, and freedom guy look even more awesome than he did before. Like even more of a level-headed regular Joe than he did before. Mm-hmm. This is weird. And not for just the obvious reasons, but like, if there was this global cabal of deep state Democrats vying to take control of the government, don't you think they would have taken control of the government? Because they haven't. Don't you think that this cabal would have been, if they are making votes disappear anyway, don't you think they would make those votes disappear from Senate candidates in their way as well?
From Mitch McConnell?
Especially if those Senate candidates have linked themselves so close to Donald Trump. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. What has happened is that people have abandoned you. Mm-hmm. And they're not Democrats because you always hated Democrats. And according to you, Democrats were always against you. Now, who has abandoned you are Republicans. Those are the centrist suburban Republicans who think it's a little much. And I would just say, if you and the family are packing a grip of AR-15s into your Hummer and heading to shoot Philadelphians, I feel like that a bit much argument isn't a bit much.
Yeah.
I feel like it's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, look, we don't even know exactly what that's about. I mean, the idea that they came up there, they have the QAnon thing, they have weapons, that does not guarantee that they planned to shoot the place up, although it seems like a valid concern. I'm worried about it. But yeah, this thing could stretch out for potentially weeks. We're gonna have recounts in Wisconsin, potentially Michigan, although it seems like the gap is too big, but they might still try. Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia. So those will all be targets for days at the very least for something, for somebody to do something crazy. And you've got, you know, people like Steve Bannon talking about cutting off people's heads. Roger Stone wants to hang people. Harlan Hill says it's war. And they are all, remember, because these are all right-wing grifters, they are competing right now for the Patreon backers and the money and all that in the future. And the way that they get that right now is by appearing the most unhinged. Because Trump fans want someone to say, go kill these people. They just want someone on a screen yelling at them that it's time to start cutting off heads and shooting people. And so we've already seen some of that. Steve Bannon's account on Twitter has already been banned as a result of that. And we're gonna see more of it. You have the more mainstream Republicans like Mark Levin and Sean Hannity saying, you know, end democracy, just give it to Trump no matter what the voters say. And then you have other people saying, it's not just that this thing was stolen, it's that you need to steal it back. You need to fight and all of that. And so, yeah, very worried. Everybody needs to definitely be on their guard. And even more credit to the people who are doing the counting, knowing that they could potentially be the target of political violence.
And last night, I was also talking to a lifelong Republican, pure capitalist, anti-communist, who points out, a small business guy, who, you know, the way I get through to him is to say, like, the big, and he believes that, he's like, listen, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, they are sitting there, they're fine now, they're happy because nothing has to change. In the meantime, small businesses get saddled with whatever gets foisted on them by whatever, they have to sit there at the under the dinner table and wait for scraps to fall off. So they're they're marginalized. But what he said is like, listen, in this time, the MAGA heads, they, and he knows a bunch of them and doesn't fully discount them for reasons that really drive my argument as to like the financial arguments for bringing them over to a more progressive approach to things. But he essentially says, when they lose faith in the system, anybody, every group that has lost total faith in the system votes for a dictator to say, take care of me, daddy. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're at right now.
Yeah.
Now, how can you get through to them to say, listen, we're going to take care of you in a way that also scores with something else you've said out loud, which is, this is a country where you got to make it happen.
Yeah,
that's what you've said.
Yeah.
So let's find a way to make it happen that isn't a take care of me daddy thing, that is actually, when you think about it, closer to North Korea than anything else.
But yeah, and my final point on this will be, it's like I said about what they think about Joe Biden, is this is why it is so dangerous for someone like Donald Trump to be playing games about QAnon and trying to like give him a little wink that it's true. Because in theory, one of the things that allows a democracy to exist is the knowledge that everyone has that when their party loses, this is not the end of the line. We can fight again in 4 years and we can win. Okay, we're not permanently out of power. But when you convince your followers that the other party is literally Satan, that they're worshipers of Beelzebub, then they aren't necessarily gonna wait 4 years. And when you combine that with a country with more guns than people, that is not a good situation.
Right, the Beelzebub thing, even for them, is over the top. Like, come on, come on. Where we go one, we go is what it stands for.
Exactly, that's probably what it is. Greta has popped up in this election week, responding to one of Trump's insane tweets where he said, stop the count. And she tweeted a little bit of advice for him, saying, so ridiculous, Donald must work on his anger management problem, then go to a good old fashioned movie with a friend. Chill, Donald, chill. And when I saw that, I was just the happiest person in the entire world, because of course that is her mocking his tweet against her last December, somehow implying that because she had been featured on Time, she was mad, not him who was freaking out about a magazine cover for a little girl. It never made sense, but I just love that she's watching from out there outside of the US and sticking it to him. I love it.
It's like getting mad that kids get more presents on Christmas.
It's the same thing.
What the hell? Where's my train? Where's my choo-choo? Huh? Why don't you just be a normal kid and like play with the box that came in? Give me the choo-choo. Like, it's so ridiculous and it's so good. And again, it plays into that narrative that I hope everybody sees. Uh-huh. Like, Donald Trump is a giant baby. Yeah. How can you look up to this guy as an alpha dog? I mean, maybe you see him as an alpha dog because dogs fight even though they're much dumber than people.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? He is as smart as a dog and he snarls. The problem is He doesn't have any teeth, guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any teeth. In fact, you're the dogs. He's treating you the dogs because he sicks you on people.
Yeah.
And that's it. And half of y'all are bots.
And he's been very clear about how much he hates dogs, by the way. But yeah, as to the no teeth thing, that's the thing. There is almost nothing sadder than a full grown man, the president, having a feud with a teenager. The one thing that's sadder is losing in that feud. Seriously, like you look like such an, aren't you supposed to be good at memes and stuff? Isn't that like your whole movement? And you guys are just so losing to Greta, and I love it. Now, really fast, she had previously weighed in a little bit on the election. She, partially because of Trump taking us out of the Paris Climate Accords. In October, she endorsed Joe Biden, who has pledged to return the US to the Global Pact on his first day in office, which would be literally the least we could do to deal with the climate crisis. There's a lot more that we're gonna need, and I'm sure she's gonna be pushing for that. But his complete hostility to doing anything about the climate crisis, even acknowledging that it exists, that is seemingly enough to make a villain or make an enemy out of Greta Thunberg. And I'm glad that she's out there continuing to do work. My question for you is, because this segment is sort of the inverse of garbage people, it's awesome people. Does Greta get it for that line? Or we have a last minute challenger for best line of the week. And for those of you who have already been watching TOIT so far this morning, you've probably already seen this. But the last minute challenger potentially is Ilhan Omar, because Donald Trump has been saying he's gonna take her state because she's awful and refugees are awful and all of that. And he got destroyed there. And Ryan Grimm asked her about that, and she said he effed around and found out. She's just so good. And I don't know who is better. Is it Greta's line or is it Ilhan's line? I don't know. Hers is more aggressive, and so for a congresswoman, that's really good. And we know how much anything she says and does gets under their skin. But it's Greta doing the deep cut from last December from outside of the US that just feels so good. I don't know. Can we have a poll on Twitch? We'll refer to it later. We gotta have a poll. Brett, what do you vote?
I think it's Greta. Because of the age disparity and the marination time.
Yes.
Because it just aged so perfectly.
Yeah.
It was, I'll remember this, buddy.
Yeah.
To not just your next tantrum, because she could have used that in any tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure she didn't, but for her to be like, now's the time.
Yeah, I think it's now Greta sends time. Her regards. So we're gonna have a poll.
That. I mean, not to downplay the effed around and found out thing, but
yeah, that's
I think
good. It's good, but it's
great. It's not just good, John. It's great.
No, it is great. But Greta, it's the age disparity, and it's just she owns him so much. Like, I'm gonna continue your analogy and take it one step further. If Trump wants to be the dog, it's only natural that at some point somebody's gonna have to dog walk him, and I think that Greta did. So I'm gonna give it to Greta. And so far on Twitch, the poll is right now it's 60-40 about. So we'll touch base with that in a minute. In the election, not only do we have the good news that Joe Biden has apparently won, but there was other good news as well. Some of which we've mentioned, but we wanted to give you a quick little roundup of the good things that are happening below the level that a lot of people are focusing on, which is the presidential election. So as many people know, Florida passed a minimum wage increase of $15 an hour, but you also have Portland, Maine passing minimum wage increases, which is absolutely awesome. Now for some of those workers, it is gonna take a few years for that to come in, but that is a significant improvement to the quality of life of literally millions of people in those states, and that should not be missed. And thank you to the organizers, Fight for 15 and DSA and a lot of other great organizers in those states that have done that. That is a very significant win of the most important kind.
Yeah, you remember that in your messaging. And this is one of those things where like there's two ways to look at it, and both are worthwhile. One is people like wage hikes.
Yeah.
They like making more money, especially hourly. Hourly is such a freaking like when you're doing it, they have quantified how much time I've been hourly, I've been salary. And salary, you're like, all right, I know how much I'm making. Everything else is around the, you know, I'll try to find other ways to make money. With hourly, you're just like, I have to work more hours. And it gets to you, you know, it gets you. If they're not guaranteed, it gets to you.
Yeah.
And things to countervail that or counteract that are, you know, making more money every hour in guaranteeing that. And people like it. And then the other thing is, there have been plenty of politicians who have lost, who profess themselves to be $15 or higher wage candidates, but who lose in the same election that a one issue proposition for that is on the table.
Yeah.
And what that proves to me is that people don't trust politicians.
Yeah.
They don't like them. There's too much extra baggage. And what you need to do is to message, no, I am just for those issues. Mm-hmm. Vote for me on those issues because they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'll be a successful winning strategy, I think, for AOC. Yeah. And you remember way back in 2016 when Trump was asked about wages in a debate, he twice said that they're too high. How is that not in ads? Like, just play him saying the wages are too high and then have the narrator ask, do you think your wages are too high? Donald Trump does. That wasn't an ad. In two candidacies, it wasn't an ad. I know it's not everything. It's not the solution to everything. But I think that seems pretty good to run in a state where 60% are saying minimum wage workers need higher wages. And by the way, 60% of Florida isn't on minimum wage. That is tons of people who make more than minimum wage saying, I think they should make higher wages. This is clearly, I think, a message that could win.
And I think something that helps you in states like that, Maine is one of them. Mm-hmm. Plenty of times the people of Maine on referenda have said, this is what I want, beyond the shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And in Florida as well. In Maine, it was ranked choice voting and they had to do it twice because the legislature was like, no, please.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then in Florida, it was people who have basically repaid their debt to society. Can they vote now? And by a supermajority, again, it was voted for. And the Republican state legislature was like, nah, that's not gonna work for me.
Yeah.
And they said no.
Yeah, love it when
so
the legislature
vow to uphold, vow to vote yes, and tell people that. Like, listen, the same reason you're voting for this as a referendum, as instead of just trusting that your politicians will make this stuff happen for you, is the same reason you should vote against your existing state politician, because they're lying. They just want you to think that they got your best interests at heart, when really we now have them on record. Yeah. Undoing what you told them to do.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna run down a few other awesome things that happened around the country. Oregon became the first state to decriminalize drug possession, not marijuana possession, drug possession, like all of them. Doesn't mean it's legalizing everything, but it is decriminalizing all of those drugs. Colorado voters rejected a 22-week abortion ban. Colorado voters approved a paid family leave program, two awesome ones for Colorado. California approved a ballot measure that will allow formerly incarcerated people on parole to vote, which is great for some reason. At the same time, people saying people on parole should be able to vote didn't think that people who are gonna be 18 for a general election should be able to vote at 17 for the primary that will produce candidates for that. I don't understand why.
It's so weird.
It's such a so weird. How is that not a slam? Yeah, you know what? No, I don't want 17-year-olds in my primary. What? I mean, I guess that's the fear that some centrists have, that they would vote overwhelmingly for progressives, but they're still 17-year-olds. They would literally be the least turnout group in any of those elections, and still people didn't want to give it to them. But they did give it to people on formerly incarcerated people on parole, which is good. And in addition to Oregon, which decriminalized all drug possession, Arizona, New Jersey, South Dakota, and Montana all voted to legalize recreational marijuana. And think about what that means: that America will have been slower to do something, on average, that South Dakota and Montana managed in terms of legalization.
Man, go to those states. Those states are, well, I haven't been to any of them, but I've been to Vermont and it is a trip, dude.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who hunt high. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
John.
My God. Don't people who hunt get high
and go hunting. I went to Vermont and on like this weird thing. Hopefully it's still around for Rotten Tomatoes show. We did like a River Runs Through It Blu-ray release junket. And the people who worked at this place that they had the junket at were awesome. They're like, listen, I go hunting and I'm hot. I'm in a treehouse playing Xbox until I hear a deer and then I pause it and I never get the deer. but it's fun.
That does sound
just
fun.
Think of it. There's a lot of ways to be that are totally fine that that might be different than what you think they are.
Exactly, so exactly. And with that as the transition, there were also great wins across the country for LGBTQIA plus candidates, including Sarah McBride made headlines when she became the first openly transgender state senator and highest ranking transgender official in the country. Awesome there. You have Stephanie Byers will become Kansas's first ever openly transgender elected official, and Vermont elected its first openly transgender candidate, Taylor Smalls, to the state legislature. So multiple victories there. Breonna Tatone, Colorado's first openly transgender legislator, was also reelected. And Lisa Bunker was reelected in her post as representative for New Hampshire. All of that news causing virtually every right-wing blowhard's head to explode, because this is a topic that they think about more than literally anything else while having no understanding whatsoever. In addition, you have Mondaire Jones and Richie Torres becoming the first openly gay black men elected to Congress in New York. Michelle Rayner Goolsbee became the first openly queer black woman elected to Florida's House of Representatives. Kim Jackson was elected as state senator in Georgia, the first openly queer candidate to do so. And Tori Harris became the first LGBTQ plus member of Tennessee's state legislature. So a lot of these are at the state level, but a lot of progress and representation coming out of Tuesday.
Yeah. And if you're upset with that, I'm sorry. Like, this is, and I will say that a lot, like, being cool with this is actually at the center of a lot of your all's argument as well. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
Like, people who are opposed to this, it's like, so what about what who they are is wrong? Nothing.
Nothing.
Shouldn't you just let them be and let them do what they do? Shouldn't it be based on like what they actually enact and how they conduct their business, not who they are? I don't see a valid argument against. So exactly. Good for everybody.
Yeah, and one is not being provided.
And just a last thing is like the normalization. Like, why would you not want to normalize this? And it's so good. Just make it normal. Yeah. I'm tired of hearing about it. Well, if there's enough people like this in Congress, you won't hear about it because it won't be special anymore.
Yeah,
you'll be the only special one.
Yeah. And bear in mind, I made a reference there to the fact that, you know, like a Ben Shapiro or a Matt Walsh, all of them talk constantly demonizing the trans community. But it's not just them. You have any number of state legislatures trying to pass laws discriminating against the community, but it's also not just them. You remember in 2016, you know, a million years ago, just in 2016, Ted Cruz, who came second in the Republican primary, one of his final campaign ads before he pulled out was an ad demonizing trans individuals for wanting to have rights to go to the bathrooms of, you know, based on their identification, talking about men pretending to be women who are gonna be a threat to your daughters. That was Ted Cruz, incredibly powerful Republican senator still, who came in second and is almost certainly gonna run for president again. That is as high profile effectively as it gets. So don't forget, the discrimination is rampant, it is high level. And so great to see this increased representation around the country. Now,
John, just a question for you. Do you think from a scientific perspective, the reason that Ted Cruz and all those like right wing media personalities you mentioned, the reason, do you think scientifically the reason they're so opposed to the trans community and the gay community and lesbian community is because of all the boners that they get from that?
I'm too dizzy to deal right now. I think my serious non-jokey answer is that I think they wish that they could openly demonize gay individuals the way that they could up until just a couple of years ago. And I think that they're reading the room and saying, we gotta be a little bit more careful about that. But the trans community, it's still safe to attack them. And so I think that's why they're doing that. I think it is opportunistic, awful and evil. And I think that we need to be very clear about that.
Okay, like just I'm gonna pass out any second. Pragmatic approach. The last thing, the pragmatic approach is like all like much like my position on the drug issue. It's like all the like if there's someone pretending to be a woman so they can get in the women's bathroom and they sexually assault someone, the sexual assault is still illegal. Yeah. Like if someone gets high and then robs a store or something, robs a store to pay for their meth addiction. Like,
yeah,
the robbery is still illegal.
Yeah, it is.
There still is law and order.
It is irrational, clearly. It is the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. Welcome everybody to the Garbage People of the Week. I'm seeing in the Twitch chat the awesome Garbage People emojis that were made, including by Norma. Thank you for making those. It is election week, and so there is a non-zero chance that you're able to guess my garbage person, but it can only be this one individual because we're on the precipice of throwing someone into the trash bin of history. And so I'm gonna throw them into this trash bin. It's this little individual right here. Little Danny, little Lodi, Danny Trump. So he is going to go into the garbage here. Oh no, oh no, the teeth are hitting on the way in. It's not even a smooth bite. Oh my God, the agony. The agony. So he's going in here.
It's duller, you twit. It'll hurt more.
Exactly. So he's my garbage person today for two reasons. And the two broadly are everything he's done in the past and everything he's going to do in the future. We could run through all of the horrible things he's said, the horrible policies, the horrible executive orders, his lack of leadership on COVID, all of the people have been lost, whether in my family, your family, we've lost people. But also, and by the way, go on the Young Turks Twitter, and I've also retweeted it. Brett put together an amazing video, an in memoriam for Donald Trump for all the terrible things that he's done. So that sums it up better than I possibly could.
Judith's idea, Mary edited it.
Mary edited it.
I just shagged some clippies.
Okay, so Mary edited it. And by the way, happy birthday, Mary. Mary is an amazing editor and artist and all of that. And so happy birthday to her. But also the things that he's about to do, because as I tweeted earlier this week, Donald Trump is exactly as awful as he is desperate. And he is about to get more desperate than he's ever been in his life, which means he's about to get more awful than he's ever been in his life. And it is possible that in the next couple of months, he will do more damage than he was able to do in his first 3.5 years as president. And all of that, any of that, one little bit of that would make him a garbage person. And so there was no way we were gonna get through election week without him being thrown in the trash, both for the silly stuff and for the stuff that's as serious as it possibly can be when it comes to American politics. Absolute garbage, trashy, go to work on him. Brett, what about you?
I am very glad that you went first because it was my garbage person this week. It was Donald Trump. It couldn't be anything other than Donald Trump. And the specific flavor of the trash that Trashy is enjoying at the present moment is this. It is someone who had a strategy that was such a dumb, obvious, sad strategy.
Yeah.
That everyone found out about it. Everybody figured it out and said it. And for all the people who are rightly pointing out, yourself included, that Bernie Sanders was on Jimmy Fallon saying, yeah, this is what's gonna happen.
Yep.
He himself, Bernie, said a lot of people are saying this because a lot of people were saying this. And that played out. And once it played out, he's still going through with that strategy.
Yeah.
And the garbage isn't just Donald Trump. It's everything that what's happening now stands for. It is a guy who was given everything. Yep. As they say, he was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And since then, he has squandered the $400 million he was given. Not once, but twice. And how did he squander it? Putting his name on stuff in gold.
Yep.
And now, and every time it went bad, he borrowed money because he was given $400 million to sue people who just wanted to get paid for the work they did for him.
Yeah.
To threaten to sue people who were like, actually, we probably should stop in a very socialist way, giving you so much free crap, man. And he squandered it. And now he has very literally barricaded himself in the White House. He had them build an unscalable fence around the White House. And now he is saying, I'm not leaving. Mm-hmm. And that is such trashy behavior.
It is.
And he's doing it in a house that's supposed to represent democracy, that's supposed to represent the American way. And what he's doing is just being a little twerp.
A little twerp. Yeah.
And that twerpiness is exactly the flavor of garbage that Trashy is relishing. Like a relish on an old hamburger that Trump choked on after Eric fell out the window.
Yeah, and died from that first story fall.
A big
no. On that wall, Francesca and I were saying earlier this week, they say it's an unscalable wall. We'll see about that. It's probably just branding. We'll find out if it's unscalable if necessary. But anyway, yeah, I definitely agree. He had to be. And so both Brett and I have thrown Trump in there. We'll see if he earns a spot in the future. Brett and I almost never overlap. I think it's happened like twice now, actually. But what about all of you? Who is the Dragon Squad garbage person of the week? We're gonna find out in 1 second. To the director, don't put up the graphic until the last one, because I'm gonna try to add a little bit of suspense to this. But 28,000 of you voted. I think that might be the most votes ever. And so coming in fifth place, actually a tie for fifth place, a three-way tie. You've got Trump's lawyers at 5% for trying to stop votes being counted. You've got Louis DeJoy, who I think Anna said belongs in de jail for his efforts to sabotage mail-in voting at 5%. You've got the poll watchers for intimidating voters at 5%. All of those for the same reason, fundamentally for being anti-democratic. Coming in second, you have Trump for declaring victory when he's clearly behind. So second place is what Brett and I had as our garbage people of the week. So then what did Dragon Squad choose? Well, Dragon Squad chose with 65% of the vote, you, the American people, for not voting Trump out in a landslide. And it's harsh, but the damage report is a place for harsh truths. And yeah, kinda, not all of us. I mean, virtually nobody watching this, we voted. But as a society, we had this opportunity, this one last opportunity to say we were wrong about all that. That was our bad and we're sorry. But we didn't really say that. We kind of said that a little bit. It was a whisper rather than a roar. And so all of America, all 300 million plus of us belong in Trashy. Trashy is gonna have the biggest bowel movements in history after digesting all of that.
But it's not beyond Trashy's capabilities, for Trashy is a magic trash can. And whoever is in charge of writing the fan fiction around Trashy, have at it, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like, what's the one that everybody's using? What's Glenn Greenwald's new thing?
What's that?
Spindle Pindle. What's the new one that everybody writes on? It's not Medium anymore.
Substack.
Substack.
Yeah, Spindle Pindle.
You can write it on Spindle Pindle if you're interested. Humble Bumble?
Yeah, no, it's a Substack. It's pretty popular. But anyway, Trashy Plays, I think, in Twitch is gonna do that fan fiction for us. But yeah, that is something that we're gonna have to think about for a long time, about all of the different things that influenced the outcome in a way that it was not the landslide that on at least some level we deserved and on some level we needed. We didn't get that.
Yes, we will, John. Like, that's the frustrating thing is, yeah, we're right. There are the Nate Silver numbers, the Real Clear Politics numbers, whatever. But if these numbers hold, then that is a bigger landslide than Trump's huge landslide by which he beat Hillary Clinton.
Sure, but it wasn't 8%, it wasn't 10%. That's what I wanted. Maybe it was green. Well,
I get it. And it ain't nobody here but us chicken. So let's just talk this through. From now on, let's try very hard to focus on ways to get people to agree with us in a constructive way.
No.
Or not. Never mind. You go ahead.
No. Your show. Continue.
Hey, you want to be my friend? You're garbage.
Thank you for dialing that back at the last second. Anyway,
you're garbage.
What else?
That's really it. I had a really good time on the show today, John.
I did too. As well as the time as I could, as sick as I felt.
And there's still whiskey in the jar. This is really good scotch, and I'm going to cheers you. Because I know for a fact
it is 11.
Why don't you end the show in the event they need to put this on linear, and then I'll do a little snoot for you.
Sure. Okay. Well, then technically for the end of the linear broadcast, this has been the Damage Report, and thus the end of the 2020 election, at least electorally. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next Monday.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.